Katra Podcast Conversations. For the curious, essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of eKatra AI. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we are tackling, well, basically everything. We're diving into Peter Cole's cosmology. A very short introduction. Our goal here is to unpack maybe the biggest questions humanity's ever asked. You know, where did the universe come from? How did it evolve? What's it made of? And where's it all going?
Exactly. It's like the ultimate origin story. And what Cole's does so well, I think, is show how cosmology went from being, well, almost pure speculation, myths, philosophy, to becoming a really rigorous physical science. It's all about evidence now.
Right. That journey, that transformation, that's what we really want to get into. Think of this deep dive as your shortcut to understanding the scientific story of, well, us, of the cosmos, without needing, you know, a PhD in physics.
Right.
It's about the what, sure, but maybe more importantly, it's about how scientists actually figured all this stuff out.
Absolutely. And the power of that scientific story, I mean, the fact that we can make detailed, testable statements about things that happened 13.8 billion years ago, that's just staggering. It's why this book is so compelling.
Okay, so let's talk about our guide on this journey. Peter Coles. He's not just someone reporting on this field, is he? He's actually in it.
Oh, very much so. He's a professor of astrophysics, held chairs at places like Cardiff and Sussex. But the key thing, as you said, is he's an active researcher. He's working on this stuff day to day.
And his focus seems to be on things like the large-scale structure of the universe, how galaxies are arranged, and also the cosmic microwave background, the CMB. Why is that particular focus so helpful for this kind of introductory book?
Well, it means he lives and breathes the data. Yeah. A lot of his work is about crunching huge data sets, using statistics to really test our models to see if they hold up. So he has this deep, almost intuitive feel for where the evidence is strong and also where the limits of our knowledge are right now.
And people say he's got this real knack for explaining really complex ideas, things like, I don't know, space-time curvature or particle physics concepts, in a way that just clicks.
He really does. He tries to avoid the heavy jargon, but when he has to use a technical term, he immediately explains it in plain language. And I think his really distinctive angle, the thing that makes the book stand out, is that constant focus on the process. It's always about how theory and observation work together, sometimes confirming each other, sometimes challenging each other. That how is really the heart of the story he tells.
Okay, so if that how, that process is the narrative thread, what's the main structure he's building for us? What's the big picture framework?
He's essentially walking us through the construction of what cosmologists call the standard model of cosmology. The technical name, the one scientists use, is the Lambda CDM model.
Lambda CDM, right. Let's pause on that for a second because you hear that term thrown around. What does Lambda CDM actually mean in simple terms?
Think of it as the universe's current best inventory list. Lambda, that's the Greek letter. It stands for dark energy. And CDM stands for cold dark matter. It's basically the recipe that, when you put it all together in the framework of Einstein's gravity, seems to explain almost everything we observe, from the very earliest light in the universe to the way galaxies clump together today.
Okay, so building this model, Coles argues, is this incredible intellectual achievement, a real triumph. But at the same time, it forces us to admit something pretty profound about our ignorance. That kind of tension, the triumph versus the humility, that seems key to this whole point.
It's the central paradox of modern cosmology, really. On one hand, yes, we've built this amazing model that lets us understand the universe on a grand scale. That's the success story. But then the model itself tells us something baffling, that about 95% of the stuff in that model is made of things we fundamentally don't understand, this dark energy and dark matter. We can measure their effects precisely, but we don't know what they are. We've basically quantified how much we don't know.
Wow. Okay, let's dig into the discoveries that actually built this slightly paradoxical framework, starting with maybe the biggest shift ever in how we saw the cosmos, the realization that the universe is expanding.
Yeah, you have to picture the scene back in the 1920s. There was this huge argument going on called the Great Debate. Astronomers were looking at these fuzzy patches, these spiral nebulae, and they were arguing, are these just gas clouds inside our own Milky Way galaxy? Or are they incredibly distant, separate galaxies, island universes in their own right?
And Edwin Hubble came along and basically settled it, didn't he?
He did, quite decisively. Around 1923, he used these special stars, Cepheid variables. They pulse at a rate related to their true brightness. By measuring how bright they appeared, he could figure out how far away they were. He did this for the Andromeda Nebula and proved it was way outside the Milky Way. Suddenly, the universe got vastly bigger. Then, a few years later, 1929, came the even bigger bombshell, Hubble's Law. He showed that the farther away a galaxy is, the faster it seems to be moving away from us based on the redshift of its light.
And this is where that raisin loaf analogy comes in handy, right? It's not like we're at the center of some explosion with everything flying away from us.
Exactly. Imagine raisins scattered in dough. As the dough rises, all the raisins move apart from each other. From any single raisin's perspective, all the other raisins seem to be receding, and the ones farther away move faster because there's more dough stretching between them. It's the space itself between the galaxies that's expanding, and that changed everything. The universe wasn't the static, eternal stage anymore. It was dynamic, it was evolving, it had a history.
Okay, so if it's expanding now, logic suggests if you run the movie backward, everything must have been closer together, hotter, denser in the past. That leads you to the idea of a Big Bang, right? But just an idea isn't science. What evidence actually pins down this hot Big Bang theory?
Right. The real strength of the Big Bang model is what scientists call concordance. It doesn't just explain one thing. It explains multiple independent lines of evidence simultaneously. There are three main pillars. Pillar number one is the expansion itself, which we just talked about. Hubble's Law, that's the starting point. Pillar two is the cosmic microwave background, the CMB. Back in the 40s and 50s, theorists predicted that if the universe started incredibly hot and dense, the leftover heat from that fireball should still be around today. It would have cooled way down as the universe expanded, but it should still be detectable as a faint, uniform glow of microwave radiation coming from all directions in the sky.
And this afterglow of creation,
yeah,
they just stumbled upon it.
Pretty much. In 1964, two engineers, Arno Penzias and Robert Wilson, were working with a sensitive microwave antenna for Bell Labs. They kept getting this annoying background hiss, this static, no matter where they pointed the antenna. They checked everything, equipment malfunction, even famously pigeon droppings inside the antenna. But the noise wouldn't go away. It turned out they had accidentally detected the CMB, the leftover radiation from the Big Bang. It's essentially a photograph of the universe when it was only about 380,000 years old.
A baby picture of the universe. That's incredible. Okay, expansion CMB. What's the third pill?
The third one is Big Bang nucleosynthesis, or BBN. The theory makes very specific predictions about the elements that could have been forged in the first few minutes after the Big Bang when the universe was like a giant nuclear reactor. Because it cooled so quickly, it could only really produce the lightest elements. The prediction was very precise. The early universe should have been composed of about 75% hydrogen and 25% helium, with just tiny traces of lithium and a couple of others. And when astronomers look at the oldest gas clouds we can find, clouds that haven't been contaminated much by later star formation, the abundances of those light elements match the Big Bang predictions almost perfectly.
Wow. So those three things together, expansion, CMB, BBN, all pointing to the same basic story. That's why the Big Bang is considered such solid science. But as you said, this solid foundation immediately leads us into that weird 95% mystery zone when we look closer at the details today.
It does. The story gets even stranger, as Coles lays out, when we get to the more recent discoveries that make up the dark universe. This really starts with dark matter, which accounts for maybe 27% of the universe's total energy matter budget.
And the first big clues for that came from how galaxies spin, wasn't it? Vera Rubin's work.
Exactly. She and her colleagues were observing spiral galaxies, measuring how fast stars were orbiting the galactic center at different distances. According to Newton's gravity, stars farther out should orbit slower, just like outer planets orbit the sun slower than inner planets. But Rubin found they didn't. Stars way out on the edges were orbiting just as fast as stars closer in. The only way to explain this was if the visible stars and gas were just a small part of the galaxy's total mass. There had to be huge, invisible halos of some other kind of matter, dark matter, surrounding the galaxies, providing the extra gravitational pull needed to keep those outer stars moving so fast. It doesn't seem to interact with light at all, only gravity.
Okay, so invisible matter holding galaxies together. Weird, but maybe graspable. But then comes the really mind-bending part. Dark energy, making up something like 68% of the universe. You'd think after the initial Big Bang push, gravity would be constantly trying to pull everything back together, maybe slow down the expansion over time. But apparently,
yeah,
that's not happening.
No, it's the opposite. In the late 1990s, two independent teams were using a specific type of exploding star type Ia supernovae as standard candles to measure cosmic distances very precisely and map the expansion history. They were expecting to find that the expansion was slowing down due to gravity. Instead, they both found that the expansion of the universe isn't slowing down at all. It's actually speeding up. It's accelerating. To explain this acceleration, we need some kind of pervasive, repulsive force acting against gravity on cosmic scales. That's what we call dark energy. It seems to be some kind of energy inherent in space itself, pushing everything apart faster and faster.
So just to recap, we have this incredibly successful model, Lambda CDM, that matches observations beautifully. But the two main ingredients, cold dark matter, CDM, and dark energy, Lambda, making up 95% of the cosmic inventory.
Yeah.
You have no idea what they actually are. Can we really call a model standard or successful if it's built mostly on unknowns?
That's exactly the tension Coles explores. It's standard because right now it's the only model that fits all the high-precision data we have from the CMB, from large-scale structure, from supernovae, from BBN. It works remarkably well descriptively, but yes, it's profoundly incomplete. It's like having a perfect list of ingredients for a cake, but having no idea what flour or sugar actually are at a fundamental level. It tells us where physics needs to go next. It points to huge gaps, probably in our understanding of fundamental particles and forces. That humility is maybe the most important scientific outcome right now.
Okay, beyond the actual discoveries, Coles seems really interested in the scientific process itself. What are some of the bigger themes about how science works that come through in the book?
Yeah, a huge theme is definitely the interplay between theory and observation. It's this constant dance. Sometimes theory predicts something amazing, like George Gamow and colleagues predicting the CMB decades before Penzias and Wilson accidentally found it. That's theory leading the way. But other times, observation throws a complete curveball, like the accelerating expansion discovered via supernovae. Nobody really expected that. And it forced theorists to come up with the idea of dark energy. So observation pushes theory forward, too. It's dynamic.
I also found his point about cosmology becoming a precision science really striking. He emphasizes we're way past the stage of just waving our hands and telling stories. We have satellites like Planck measuring the properties of the CMB, things like the age of the universe or the exact amount of dark matter versus regular matter to within just a few percent. That's incredibly precise for talking about the entire cosmos.
Absolutely. It means we can now actually test different theoretical models with hard numbers. If a theory predicts the wrong amount of dark matter by even a few percent compared to what Planck measured, it's ruled out. That makes cosmology a proper branch of physics driven by data.
Coles also has a way with words. The book is full of these little phrases that really capture big ideas. Are there any particular concepts or ways he put things that stuck with you?
Oh, definitely. He describes the discovery of cosmic expansion as the single most important finding in the history of cosmology. And you can see why, right? It fundamentally changed our view. It wasn't just about the universe being bigger. It meant the universe had a history, a beginning, an evolution, maybe an end. It turned cosmology into a historical science.
Yeah, it gave the universe a narrative arc.
Exactly. And then building on that, he calls the CMB the most important fossil in existence. I love that analogy, because like a fossil tells us about ancient life, the tiny temperature variations, the little hot and cold spots in the CMB map, those are the fossilized seeds of structure from the infant universe. Gravity later worked on those tiny density differences to pull matter together and eventually form all the stars and galaxies we see today. It's like the universe's blueprint.
That's a great image.
Yeah.
And then bringing it back to that core paradox, he summarizes the state of play by saying the standard model gives us this deeply humbling truth.
Mm-hmm.
We only understand the fundamental nature of the 5% of the universe that is ordinary matter. That really nails it, doesn't it? The precision and the ignorance all wrapped up together.
It perfectly captures the current moment in the field. We know the percentages incredibly well, but the nature of the biggest slices of the pie, still a huge mystery.
Okay, so absorbing all this,
yeah,
it's fascinating, mind-expanding stuff. But let's be practical for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
How does understanding cosmology actually apply to, you know, real life? It's not going to help you file your taxes.
Probably not directly, but I think its value is more intellectual and philosophical. First, the whole story of cosmology is just a fantastic case study in the scientific method in action. You see ideas being proposed, tested against evidence, refined, sometimes thrown out completely when the data contradicts them. It teaches you critical thinking, how to weigh evidence, how to distinguish between what's solid, what's inferred, and what's just speculation. That's a useful skill anywhere.
And there's definitely a perspective shift that comes with it, isn't there? When you really internalize the time scales, 13.8 billion years and the sheer scale of the universe, it can't help but make your own day-to-day worries seem, well, maybe a little less all-consuming. It fosters a certain kind of humility.
Absolutely. And related to that is the connection Coles makes, the almost poetic realization that we are literally made of stardust.
Yes.
The heavier elements in our bodies, the carbon, the oxygen, the iron, they weren't made in the Big Bang. They were forged inside stars over billions of years and then scattered across space when those stars exploded as supernovae. So our physical substance connects us directly back to the life cycle of stars and the history of the cosmos. It's pretty profound.
It really is. So as we bring this deep dive to a close, looking back at the whole story Coles tells, what was the most surprising thing for you, or maybe the biggest aha moment?
For me, it was probably learning more about the problems the original Big Bang model had and how theoretical ideas had to be invented to fix them, specifically the idea of cosmic inflation. The basic Big Bang model couldn't easily explain why the universe is so geometrically flat today, or why the CMB temperature is so incredibly uniform across the entire sky, even in regions that shouldn't have had time to interact. Alan Guth's proposal of an incredibly rapid exponential expansion inflation happening in the very first tiny fraction of a second after the Big Bang elegantly solves these puzzles. It shows how sometimes you need these bold, purely theoretical leaps to make sense of the observations. It's a great example of science adjusting itself.
That's fascinating. For me, I think my favorite takeaway is less about a specific discovery and more about the overarching message that seems to run through Coles' account. It's the story of human ingenuity, really. This relentless curiosity driving us to piece together the history of the entire universe, using just light and logic and collaboration across generations. It's kind of awe-inspiring that we on this little planet can figure this stuff out.
It truly is. And the story's definitely not over, which leads us, I suppose, to a final thought for you to ponder, drawing on where Coles leaves us thinking about the future. If dark energy is real and it's causing the cosmic expansion to accelerate, what does that imply for the ultimate fate of the universe? Will the acceleration just continue gently, leading to a cold, dark, quiet heat death billions of years from now, where everything is too far apart for anything interesting to happen? Or could the acceleration itself keep increasing, becoming ever more violent, eventually leading to something called the Big Rip, where the expansion becomes so strong it overcomes gravity, then electromagnetism, eventually tearing apart galaxies, stars, planets, and maybe even atoms themselves?
Right. Cheerful thoughts to end on. Something to keep us all up tonight. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.